We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And I expect the ground game to have at least 115 between three of those awesome running backs. And as far as our defense goes, it's like a hurricane. You could get ready for the category 4 or 5. You could board your windows and, you know, sandbags everywhere, but you're going to absorb that impact. And this is what it is. When you have D4, I always say, if you have D4, it seems you can't beat this team because that is just too much. For that front four to get blocked, you would need an awesome offensive line. Plus, two George Kittles on your side. Too bad for them. There's only one George Kittle, and he's on our side. So it's going to be total domination. 34-17, 49ers, bang, bang, Niner gang.
All right, appreciate that phone call. I like the confidence in Garoppolo, too. I'm still a bit perturbed, will be the word I use, that people don't have full-on confidence in the starting quarterback. What more does he need to do to earn that? Like, if he wins the Super Bowl next year, are we going to come into the season with, I don't know, do you think Jimmy G's the franchise quarterback of this team? Are we going to have that conversation? Or are we good? Like, the key to this dude is that when you look at him, he doesn't look rattled. In the rattled spots where he's supposed to look a bit frazzled, he never looks that way. He always looks like he's in control. He's not going to play perfect. Cousins looks rattled in tight spots. You see it on his face. There are quarterbacks all over the place. If you watch the Eagles-Seattle game, Josh McCown checked into that game and looked lost from the beginning of it. There are oftentimes you see Wentz looking like he's lost. Mason Rudolph constantly looks out of place, right? Tannehill for his entire career in Miami looked out of place. Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, those dudes never look shook. Man. Russell Wilson never looks shook. Never. Garoppolo never looks shook.
That's
people
true.
Just need him. They somehow need him to win some huge game in some huge spot in order to justify
his
ability.
Though.
But he did it in New Orleans, but people still go, well, it was Kittle making the play. Well, he had made plays all day long in
all
that game.
All day long. All day long.
Well, good. What I'm shocked by is how many people are pouring into the text line with the anti-Joe Buck stuff. Joe Buck is joining this fine program tomorrow at 8:30. What do you want us to ask him? Why is everyone so convinced Joe Buck hates San Francisco? I don't think anyone hates San Francisco.
It's fascinating because what you laid out as far as the gigs he gets, do you think Fox would continue to roll him out as their number one guy if he wasn't very good or if he was just blatantly biased? There's a reason why he does every USGA event since Fox was able to get the U.S. Open. He does the Women's U.S. Open. He does the U.S. Amateur, all those events. He does the World Series. He does the Super Bowl when it's Fox's turn.
That's this year.
So he's going to do the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so him and Aikman are on the Super Bowl this
TV
year.
TV executives aren't going to put a guy on the air at that level who's a bum or somebody who holds a grudge. I just don't understand that.
Guy's awesome. And that's a gig, too. The Romo gig, $10 to $14 million a year. If he gets Monday Night Football and that's it, you just, you know, go to all the Monday Night games and, like, the one playoff game. And I'm sure there's a couple preseason in there. And then you do some hits on ESPN throughout the year, and then that's it. That's a gig, son. Every week you get up for the Monday night game, everyone wants to be at you. Like, that's a gig. That is crazy money for a gig that only requires, what, 5-6 months a year? And even then, it's not like a whole week. I'm not trying to downplay what he does, but he doesn't need to put in 10 hours a day, 7 days a week to get ready for Monday Night Football, right? He'll do his scouting. He'll talk to everyone. He'll put the work in. That's a gig.
It's a great gig.
It's like the gig to end all gigs.
It's a phenomenal gig, and these guys, they do put in work, and like you said, Joe, not trying to downplay it, but they get paid, and they get a king's ransom, and they do a great job, and people are entertained, and he makes people like, wow, why is Joe Buck, and why is Tony Romo, why are these guys getting the money? Because it's merit, and the market says that it's merit, and that's why they get those type of salaries. I think when it comes down to Jimmy G, and you're talking about people, though, that why don't they believe? I think they don't believe because they look at this team and they say, oh, my God, they can run the ball. Oh, they got this defense. You know, and very rarely is he put in a situation where he can go out and win games. But he's shown you that he can win games. He made the throw against the Steelers, even though he played bad going there. He made throws against the Saints consistently, went head-to-head with Drew Brees. You see him in Seattle, what he did to Seattle. on the road and at home. The guy is still a good quarterback, not necessarily elite quarterback, no, but he is a good quarterback. So I think fans just go around and they're like, man, is this guy, is he Breeze? Is he those guys? Give the guy time. Hell, this is his second year starting as a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
He hasn't even started 30 games yet.
Right.
The problem we have, and this is a societal issue, the problem we have with evaluating the quarterback position is you either are a franchise quarterback, and our definition of that are future Hall of Famers. Every time we talk about a guy being a franchise guy is Brady, Rodgers, Russ, Mahomes, who's won an MVP. Like, that's the category. So when you ask the question, man, is he a franchise guy? The first thing you think in your mind are the true franchise guys that can't possibly be argued anyway else. Those guys also happen to be Hall of Famers. You get that, right? Most people, when they draw the comparison of whether or not he's a good quarterback, whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, they draw the comparison with dudes, a group of dudes, a small group of dudes who are going to Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls, and going to the Hall of Fame. It's like, well, Garoppolo, I don't know if he's a franchise guy. He's not a franchise guy like Russ and like Rodgers and like Breeze and Brady. Yes, those are all Hall of Famers. That's not the criteria you need to look for. Those dudes are rare. What you need is a guy who isn't Cousins. You need a guy who isn't Tannehill, who isn't going to crap the bed on a consistent basis when you need him most. Go around the NFL. It's loaded with guys who in tight spots can't handle it. Phillip Rivers was a franchise guy. Phillip Rivers had a really good career. Maybe he gets Hall of Fame, maybe he doesn't. But for all the flack he took, it's because he was always compared to Roethlisberger, who won Super Bowls, and Eli, who won Super Bowls. The reality is, if you switch Rivers around and give him a Super Bowl, everyone ranks him ahead of the other two. But because he doesn't have the Super Bowl, he probably ranks third because everyone remembers how bad he was this season. 2 years ago, when the other two sucked, Roethlisberger and Eli, Philip had a huge year 2 seasons ago.
Right.
Huge.
I think part of it, too, is if you were going to look at the 49ers and you were going to rank the units, the pass rush would be ranked higher than the passing offense. The run offense would be ranked higher than the passing offense. So as you go through it, this is, I think, where he takes some knocks, because if you looked at Kansas City low, you would say Patrick Mahomes and the passing attack is far and away their best aspect. You look at Tennessee, you mentioned Tannehill, the run game, their defense. Tannehill would rank maybe 7th or 8th among importance, and I think that's partly why Jimmy G takes so many knocks, because we don't yet know how good he can be when he has to be the preeminent force on your team, because right now the run defense, the defensive front, the linebackers, the run offense, the tight end, they're all more important than Jimmy G in this offense. Yet, to your point, we haven't yet seen exactly how great he can be, because you don't have a team yet where they're going to go five wides and they're going to throw the ball all over the park yet.
Right. And I'll tell you right now, you know, Joe, you always talk about you don't have a quarterback, you know, it starts with the quarterback, and it does. And you're right, and I understand it takes a team. I get it. And the quarterback takes the most of the heat, and I get it. And I see why, you know, I'm coming around to where you guys at and you guys' church. If you told me right now, out of the young quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, Mahomes, all the guys that are out there right now within 5 years, that's only been in the league for 5 years, and I can take, and you said, give me one of those quarterbacks, give me two guys you would take for the next 10 years. Believe it or not, I would take an upcoming rookie in Mahomes. I think Mahomes, and then I would take Burrow. In the next 10 years, those two guys, in my opinion, I'm going with a guy that ain't even in the league in the next 10 years will be two of the better quarterbacks in the league.
That's a big risk right there.
It's a huge risk. I'm just going to show you what you're talking about.
You took the most sure thing on the board and then the most unsure thing on the board and paired them together.
Yes. That's what I've seen. And I haven't seen a guy though have that much touch on the 9 route where the guy is covered running step for step, and he's still able to drop it in there. This Burrow kid, I'm telling you right now, him and Patty Mahomes will be the next 10. You lock it up, those two guys, barring injuries. I've seen enough from that kid. I didn't know he. I mean, I watched him, but now really watching that national
60 touchdowns
game,
in 15 games is something that's enough to sway anybody.
It's not just that. If you, I watched this kid all year.
Yeah,
there wasn't a single spot at any point during the season where he wavered, ever. He went to Tuscaloosa and could not have been cooler in the pocket throughout the entire game. He's never rattled on the sidelines. He's never rattled in the huddle. He's never yelling at anybody. He is always, always under control. People do not realize the spots this kid was
this
year. Auburn, Florida, at Tuscaloosa,
Alabama,
Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson. And they were doubted at every turn. Like, he made huge plays and had huge games in every single spot this season. And the Bengals, though. You're betting on the Bengals to develop this kid.
And he's going to win 8 games next year. Have you said 7?
See about that.
The guy, if
you played in Cincinnati, you know what it's like there.
A.J. Green, if he comes back.
The airport's in Kentucky.
You're right. If A.J. Green comes back and all the stuff they got, that's how good this kid is. Pretty amazing.
All right. Well, we'll deal with Burrow next year.
Yeah.
We'll deal with him next
year. I was making a point about the quarterback.
I know. No, it's a good point. We got a lot of people lining up on the Jimmy G conversation. Let's hear it. 888-957-9570. Cody and Glen Ellyn. Cody, are you in Glen Ellyn, Illinois?
Yeah, I'm actually in the South Bay.
Hold on 1 second. Could we not interrupt the callers, please? Cody, is that Glen Ellyn, Illinois?
No, Glen Ellyn, California.
All right. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, I got a comparison for you guys and a question.
What's the noise in the background?
Oh, it's dumping rain out here in Sonoma.
Run him. Run him. Dibs, I apologize. You interrupting him, that was the right play. I don't know what that was. Listen.
Three words.
It's the NFC Championship this week. If you're going to call, bring it. No more of this, hey guys, love the show, just had a thing for you. It's the NFC Championship game. Save that crap for baseball season.
I used to produce your show. My name's Cody.
Yes. Yeah. The low-hanging fruit of all low-hanging fruit.
And he closes his eyes so slowly.
Well picked.
Yes, thank you.
Wasn't really well picked.
Deuce, not
Glen Ellyn, Chicago. It's the North Bay, Joe.
Deuce, Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Deuce, 707, what's going on?
Hey, I'm fired up for this game, first of all. But I wanted to say that Jimmy G looks like a young Joe Montana. I went back and I watched a lot of the old tapes in the early or in the late aughts when the Niners sucked. And, you know, he was just clutch. He had ice in his veins and he just made the plays. And Jimmy G does the same exact thing. Now, he still makes mistakes, don't get me wrong, but he's young. He still has, you know, room to grow. So that's it. I'm fired up. Let's go Niners.
Fired up!
Rack him. Deuce, also the name of a former producer of the morning show on this very station. So you're running hot right now with former producers.
Yeah.
Dave Deuce Mason, currently working in Sacramento.
And I'm a believer in Jimmy. No, I mean, I wasn't. And I can tell I
you still seem iffy. It still
does it?
Feels iffy. I need complete buy-in from you.
It's complete.
I know I you're coming you. Around, but I still feel iffy. I still feel like you're not all the way in.
It was two things that happened to me.
I feel
Jimmy
like
G.
you're feeling that hot tub and you're telling everyone, don't worry, everyone. Yeah. I'm coming in the hot tub. Yeah. You know, but you're a little self-conscious. You don't want to take the shirt off.
No,
take the shirt off. Come in the hot tub.
I'll take it off. I will. And here's the thing. Jimmy G, when
it's nice in here. 103 degrees.
Cannonball.
When Jimmy G started off, it was – that was good.
Thank you.
He started off 5-0. It wasn't good. It was just crazy and awkward. He started off 5-0.
From good to awkward.
Yes.
I'll take it. It's a backhanded compliment. It's a Roger Federer. I'll take it. You were saying, please.
Thank you.
Continue.
He goes 5-0, and I was like, God, this guy, okay, I understand why you're going to pay him now. So, boom, he takes care of that. Then he gets injured. And then I'm thinking, okay, now I'm like, okay, that's what I went with caution. Because the numbers, when you talk about Brady, Carson Wentz, all these guys that came back from a knee injury, that next year they struggled. So I looked at that, and they were awesome players. And I'm like, wow, this is going to take him a while. And I think that Kyle Shanahan did a phenomenal job understanding and knowing that and didn't put him in those type of situations. Like, look, let's wait to this guy where I feel he's ready. So they leaned on a running game. They leaned on the defense. And then, then all of a sudden they said, let's turn him loose a little more. And then Jimmy started to come into form. And you saw him start to tear it up. And I said, okay, I didn't think this guy was going to react this well with that knee being injured to get through the throwing motion to be able to put the transfer to weight, not worrying about the knee. And he's done that. And now when you look at what he did with the Ravens and the Saints and all the teams that he's played and the way that Jimmy's – I'm a believer now. And I think that Jimmy – I know Jimmy can win games because I saw him win games. Does Jimmy still make some mistakes? Absolutely. But like you said, he comes back the next series and he says, I'm going to go out and operate. You seen
he's Brett Favre.
Yeah,
he's
never seen blink anymore. Like you're talking about the body language. You see Kirk Cousins looking down. You see certain guys.
You see him after he threw that pick to Richard Sherman. The game was over because Kirk Cousins, his little dauber got down. The eyes drooped, and you knew at that moment he didn't have the moxie, the gravitas, the stones to lead that Viking team back.
The first thing you see with Cousins on the road, it's him going like this. He's got his hands up covering his ears. It's like, good God, Cousins. Stop. Get the first play from the sideline so you don't look like you're already panicking.
Right.
But it's still 15 minutes to go in the first quarter. Right. It's a touchback. How are you already have your ears up in complete, like, damn, dude.
You're
look the part.
That's a great point, because he comes out and he was immediately covering
it.
And
so loud,
and he's not
hear.
Even in the huddle yet, and he's doing that. You're right. Exactly
it's
right.
It's like, man, I got no confidence in that. I got no confidence when I see that. Get the play and then run in, and even if you don't have the play, make a play up. Don't immediately go to your ears like it's too loud. I'm glad it's too loud, but don't show
they put the numbers up for Jimmy G after an interception. They put it up in the broadcast last week, and he's like 32 of 35 in the first drive after he throws an interception.
That's the NBC biting us. We've been doing that all year.
Of course.
He's outstanding
you're
at
welcome.
That.
You're welcome, Al Michaels.
We love you, Al.
Yeah, friend
of
the program.
Take whatever you like.
And he came on the show. He loves him. And he's one of the billions. And that's what I love about him. When he throws an interception, watch him. He's getting on himself. I don't know if he's cursing. I don't know what he's saying. But I know one thing. He's like, Jimmy, you're better than that. And you could just see he's disappointed. It's not that Dopper look like you said, head down. He runs off. He's like, man, I'm going to get you. And I'm going to get you, sucker. And you see that in him. And that's what you love about Jimmy G. He gives you that confidence, that vote of confidence that I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Trust me, boys. I'm going to be all right. He looks at his guys like, guys, I got this. Don't worry about it. And you see the team. They elevate their game.
It's memory loss, Lo. And
it just goes.
It's the kind of memory loss that you need as a pro athlete. And I'm sure you saw it among teammates and even yourself where you come out, maybe you drop a pass or you miss a block or you fumble the ball. It's so important to be able to bounce back in the next moment and not let it carry over. And there's no carryover with Jimmy Garoppolo, even when he throws that interception against Minnesota, which was ghastly. It was a bad, bad pick. He didn't let it go. He didn't throw his helmet. He didn't assign blame. He just picked himself up and made a play.
He didn't have the chance to lead him down the field either. That ticked me off because it was halftime and they took a knee. And I was thinking, damn, I'd love to see if he could take him down the field and get points coming off that like he has all season. I'm going to do something now I said I was never going to do.
Please.
All right, I'm going to do something now
please.
I said I was never going to do.
Okay.
First off, all the good stuff on the show, as always, brought to you by our friends at Fremont Bank.
Love
full service
Fremont
banking,
Bank.
No compromises. Text line. 510, hey guys, I'm going to Vegas with my girl this weekend. I told her we can do whatever you want, but you just have to give me 4 hours for the Niners game. Any recommendations on where to watch the game in Vegas? I said I would never give my spot away. I said I would never do it. I'm going to do it today. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to give my spot away. You want to know the spot?
Absolutely.
Someone has to say yes so I can continue.
Absolutely.
It's a very simple radio bit. You just say yes, and then I continue.
It was a rhetorical question, Coach.
Not rhetorical. Not rhetorical.
You never know with you.
If you say no, then it's like, all right, well, then I'll keep the spot a secret.
No,
find out next.
No,
that would have been a great setup for a tease, but we're going to pay it off right now.
Do it.
There's a spot that's the best of all spots to watch a game. If you're looking to relax and you're looking to have access to drinks and some food and not be overrun, it's not going to be loud with everyone yelling and screaming. It's going to be a nice, good time. You're going to go to the Encore. The place is called the East Side Lounge. So the Wynn and the Encore, two adjoining towers, Steve's joint. Steve Wynn. Steve's joint, as I like to refer to it. You can access it from the Wynn or the Encore, but you go over. It's right off the casino floor. It's a lounge. It's got a piano in there. It's a very classy bar. But for NFL games, especially on Sundays in the morning, no one's in there. It's too early. No one's down there watching games. You can belly up at the bar, or you can go down in the lounge. But they've got a bunch of TVs. They'll set you up, and then you can sit there, and you can be on a couch. It doesn't cost anything. Yeah, you're going to have to get there a little bit earlier because it's the NFC Championship game, but people are flying out Sunday night.
Okay.
So if you're there for this game or any others, Super Bowl, they probably charge.
Yeah.
East Side Lounge at the Encore. I said I would never give that out. It was a spot I discovered like 10 years ago, and I said I was going to keep it secret. I always had a number two that I would tell everyone was the best. I'm giving out the number one.
Well, I'll give you number two for you, Joe. And this place, you like it. It's nice. It's quaint. It's quiet. Great food. A lot of TVs there. And you're not going to be bothered either. Oh, Ellis Island, Joe.
Oh, Ellis Island. Right.
You don't like that.
Come for the steak and you stay for the shakes.
Yeah. I'd rather watch the game in Iran. How's that sound?
Wow.
With everything that's going on there right now.
That got geopolitical in a heartbeat.
I knew he was going with Ellis Island. I'm not going to Ellis Island to watch the game. Ugh. Steak's $4. You know what? You want a $4 steak, you go to Ellis Island. Tell him you know Low. They'll knock a buck off it.
STAK.
They knocked you down to $3 for a steak.
Yeah.
Hell,
you're doing well.
That's a hell of a deal.
You're doing well.
Three hands of dollar blackjack.
Right. The only guys playing blackjack and roulette with like pennies on the table. God. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Nutrisystem. Plenty of you on hold that want to talk about Garoppolo. I bet on the 49ers to win the Super Bowl last February. Nice. I see a bunch of you guys. We're coming to all you guys next. 888-957-9570. Are we still questioning Garoppolo? Is this a conversation we still need to have? 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Now is the time to try Nutrisystem for men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door. You eat the food and you lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Well, think about it.
I don't understand it.
On 95.7, The Game.
This time tomorrow, Joe Buck. Two syllables, 8:30. He's on the call for the NFC Championship game with Troy Aikman. He's on the call for the Super Bowl this year. He's coming on the program, and we had a brilliant idea during the break. Tomorrow, we're going to try to butter up Joe Buck. Butter up Buck is what we're going to be doing. And in an attempt to get Buck to take a suggestion we give him and slide it into the broadcast. That's what we're going to try to do. Now, the first suggestion that came up was Herocious.
Not bad.
Nice guy Steven threw it out there. One issue with that. Outside of the billions,
yeah,
there are other people that will be watching. Remember, we've got billions, but we don't have all 7 billion. We're humble. We haven't reached the entire planet yet, and that's fine. Neither has God, according to the missions and the people coming out of Utah going on those missions. They want to spread the word of God. So neither one of us has covered the planet yet. But Herocious, for the people who don't know us, they hear Buck say that, they think he's botching a word.
Herocious!
We don't want Buck to be perceived as someone who botched a word, because the words are how he makes
it. It's a real word, though. So
Herocious?
Uh-huh. It is, but it's not mainstream enough. I think I have the perfect suggestion, and it comes, again, out of the locabulary playbook, and it's hey, diddle, diddle, Kittle down the middle. If Kittle has a catch.
Danny Ocean, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
I think, hey, diddle, diddle, Kittle down the middle. If we can get him to say that, I think that would be a high water mark. That would be incredible. If he catches one of them seam routes low that he likes to run, hey, in typical Buck fashion, it'd be great.
That is a wonderful idea. I do also want to open it up to the billions for suggestions.
Of course.
As many suggestions as humanly possible. Chilton Auto Body 95795. If you want to call in, we're going to try to butter up Buck tomorrow. Joe Buck, 8:30. Butter up Buck is the segment, in the hopes that he will take something from this fine program and slide it in to the podcast. Podcast? Broadcast. Broadcast. Any suggestions? We'd love to hear them. And let's keep them reasonable, people, okay? I know there's going to be a lot of clowns, and there's going to be a lot of stand-up comics, aspiring comedians on the text line with their suggestions. Leave that for another program. We're buttoned up around here. No jokes. This show is joke-free.
Huh. Joke-free since 8:33.
Right, right. Luis in San Jose, we were talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and whether or not people are still having an issue buying into him winning the big game. I've seen it all year. I have no doubts, but there are some who have doubts, which is reasonable. So let's have the discussion. Luis in San Jose, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, guys, NFC Championship week, let's go, baby. I'm a season ticket holder for, like, the last past 10 years, and one of the things I do is I record the games, due to memory loss during the games. So I watch the games at home, and I seen one thing this week that I hadn't seen, since I've seen Garoppolo, and I'm a Garoppolo, I love Garoppolo. But I seen one drive where he got rolled over, his ankle, his knee, he got sandwiched, he got hit. And the rest of that drive, he didn't look like himself. He looked like he needed, extra help. And I wonder, that's probably why they started running the ball that much more. I mean, only to beat the crap out of him. But yeah, I seen that. So I noticed that part. That's one thing. The second thing is, we're talking about franchise quarterbacks. And I asked all these Jimmy G doubters if they would ever take Eli Manning at his prime over Jimmy G right now. And I can answer that question, and the answer is no.
Wow. That's an interesting
Thank
one.
You, Luis.
So Eli Manning in his prime or Jimmy Garoppolo, is it right now? Garoppolo off the ACL, this is all you get? versus Eli Manning in his prime going into this game this weekend against the Green Bay Packers? Where would you go?
I would probably go toward Garoppolo, and maybe it's recency bias because Jimmy G is still doing it and Eli is darn near the end of his career. But when you think about the Super Bowl wins from Eli Manning, he had some ferocious defenses there and a good run game that really kind of propelled that team to the Super Bowl. I think I would take Jimmy G. I don't know where you sit, Lo. Different church, different pew, different religion, whatnot.
I think there's so much alike. I think Jimmy G, when you look at young Manning, we're older Manning now, you say Jimmy G wouldn't love that career. Yeah, I don't know if he would say, oh, I don't want his career. I mean, two Super Bowls, not bad. Made some big-time throws in those Super Bowl games. You say they had a ferocious D. Don't the Niners have a more ferocious D than they have? They had a pretty good running back in Brandon Jacobs. Aren't these two teams kind of similar? Played great defense, ball control, running the ball. I think it's carbon copy. You look at the Giants, those that run that they had, I think they have some similarities to this Niner team when you look at it. So I don't know if I'm necessarily taking him now. I look at the body of work that, you know, that he had Manning. So I think, I don't know. I think it's hard just to say, I'm just going to just take
I'm trying to find Eli's best season. Yeah. It's tough. He never had a high completion rate ever. I mean,
was he ever over 4,000 yards in a season?
Several, six or seven.
Okay.
So he got over 4,000. His highest total ever was 4,900. He actually came just shy of 5,000 when he went to a Pro Bowl in 2011. 2011, started all 16 games. 61%, though, on his completions. He's never that accurate of a quarterback. 4,900 yards, 29 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
16, wow.
Yeah, and that's, you're going to find a discrepancy like that all the way across the board. If you go down further, you can get his best touchdown year, 35 TDs. That came in 2015, another Pro Bowl year. 14 interceptions, 4,400 yards. Now, Garoppolo didn't get to 4,000 this year. He never has, obviously, because it was his first full year as a starter.
You think he'll have one that he gets to 45, 49?
Yeah, I don't think 4,900.
That's what you said.
Man, Eli's top year is 4,900. A 5,000-yard season used to be something that I think Peyton was the first one that ever – he had the 5,000 yards and the 50 touchdowns that year with Denver.
Denver, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, someone will probably – Mahomes will probably get to something like that. I think he already has gotten to something like that. But
45?
I wouldn't doubt 5,000 yards. Kyle really loves to run the ball. So if you're clicking on offense, he's always going to want to highlight the running game. I don't know if Garoppolo is a guy that's built for consistent threats at 5,000 yards just based on the offense.
What, like 45?
Like in Kansas City, they're always going to try to throw for 5,000 yards.
Right.
Peyton Manning was always on a team that was trying to throw for 5,000 yards.
They're not built
4,500 is reasonable.
Okay.
I mean, he started the year slow coming off the ACL, and Sanders was added midway through the season. You figure you have a full season of that. I don't think 4,000 is much of a threat at all.
Yeah, but does he need that to win? I think that the difference is...
Yeah, no,
okay,
doesn't.
So I don't know if we're going to get these type of numbers. If they don't need to do that to win, then I don't know if you... Does Jimmy have to throw for 4,500? You say, no, he doesn't, then what does that mean?
And I think the template, too, is what Joe was saying about Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan wants to or is going to run an offense where you're looking to have a guy throw for 5,000 yards.
Matty Ice did it. Matty Ice threw for what he threw for with Kyle Shanahan. He lit it up.
His MVP
year. He lit it up.
I mean, those were big numbers.
He had some huge numbers.
That's Kyle as an offensive coordinator, not, though, as a head coach. And you see him, he's making this Niner team, though, in the image of his father's teams, the old Denver teams, where it's run the ball first and use the pass off the run.
But he had that option, too, though, when he was in Atlanta, right? He's still the offensive coordinator, so you can make the offense whatever you want it to be.
Ryan's MVP season was the Super Bowl year. He was an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler. 2016, he threw for 4,944 yards. Ryan's threatened 5,000 yards several times in his career. He did it 2 years ago with 4,900. He did it the MVP year with 4,900. Then he had, going backwards, 45, 46, 45, 47. He's had a lot of big seasons. The MVP year was 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's a monster year.
That's a great year.
That's a monster year.
Those numbers are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I think that Kyle Shanahan, so with that Dibs, I think that if the opportunity presented itself and they struggled in the run and they needed to, I don't think Kyle Shanahan would hesitate to cut him loose.
I think it depends on the personnel, and you look at that Falcon team with the receivers they had versus the receivers that the 49ers have, and it's not close. Atlanta had way better skill position players in the passing game than this Niner team does.
Yeah, I think that you can grow, though. That's what I'm saying. I think that Kyle Shanahan's going to be the way that they're going to build, you know, in the future. I think if you got your quarterback, you got your franchise receiver in Debo.
Right.
You got other guys coming back next year, Hurd and different guys, you might sign Emmanuel. You're going to have some pretty good weapons. You're talking about a year of maturity. This team next year, for some years now, they're going to have a pretty good passing offense. And you got Kittle. You look at the weapons. Kittle is a hell of a threat. So I don't know if you can say they don't have a good amount of receivers and good amount of tight ends, and they can continue to grow.
Well, going forward, I think it'll be better, and you'll probably draft another wide receiver next year, not with your top pick, but certainly you're going to want to add some depth. And there's a reason why we've been playing receiver roulette this whole year, because it's just been a crapshoot as far as who you're going to throw it to. Before Emmanuel Sanders, remember back to those early days of Pettis and Goodwin, and you know, even before Debo Samuel became the Debo he's become when he was just a young rookie.
But it was often, even when Debo was a rookie, before you even had E-Man join the team, we were all salivating. We wanted Debo.
Right.
So it just goes to show you where his trajectory has been, even prior to Emmanuel getting here.
Just looking the next year, when you talk about what kind of numbers he could put up, that schedule is going to get tough. They cross over with the NFC East, which is the best of the crossovers based on the way those teams are built, the Giants, the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. But you, as a first-place team, now get the first-place teams in the South, which means you're going to New Orleans next year, and you're also going to get the Packers again. You're going to be hosting the Packers in that matchup because you have to do the two randoms. And then in the AFC, you've got New England, Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets.
Ooh,
so it's an interesting one next year, but those crossovers, those two random games, because you finished first, you get the first place NFC team in the two divisions that you're not crossing over against. So since you're already, it would have been much better if you were crossing over with anyone but the East, because then you take the Eagles and it's like, that's the weakest of all the number ones. You're going to get the Saints next year, and that game's going to be in New Orleans, and you're going to host the Packers. Those are two huge games.
You got the Patriots, you got the Packers, and the Saints next year on the schedule. That's going to be fun.
But you could have the Saints without Breeze and the Patriots without Brady. Patriots suddenly aren't all that daunting of a game if Brady's no longer the quarterback.
But to the point of this conversation and the wide receivers against that Patriot pass defense, which is, I believe, number one in the NFL against the pass.
Number one total. Niners are number one against the pass.
Oh, right.
Patriots are top three, I'd have to imagine, in pass.
With a possible defensive MVP. Is Gilmore going to be the defensive player of the year, you think?
Him, and who was the other option they threw out there? Aaron Donald's going to be in there again, of course. Gilmore is the one that's got it wouldn't be a surprise to see the voters want to break from a pass rusher to get it to a corner. This would be the year, because everyone's been talking about Gilmore for a few months, but getting eliminated early, who knows how that messes with the minds. I don't know when you have to turn these in. You're not allowed to count the postseason, which, by the way, again, how absurd is this? Let me ask you right now, who's the NFL coach of the year?
Everyone's talking Mike Tomlin, and where are they?
Mike Tomlin, they were talking about Mike Tomlin. No one's talking about Mike Tomlin now. If you were to vote now, where would you rank Mike Vrabel? And where would you rank Mike Vrabel 3 weeks ago before the playoffs started? That's the problem with these awards, not counting the postseason.
Right.
Mike Vrabel got no consideration in Tennessee whatsoever as coach of the year, and he shouldn't based on the current rules. Now, if you looked at the playoffs, Vrabel might be the guy at the top of the list. Wow. He turned around Ryan Tannehill. He beat the Patriots on the road. He knocked the Ravens off on the road in the playoffs. Nobody's got a better, more impressive resume than that, outside of maybe what Kyle Shanahan did, taking a team that drafted number two overall last year and getting the one seed in the NFC.
And how about next week? It could be a different coach. That's what's so crazy about it. We'll be saying,
if LaFleur?
Thank you.
He wins this game, then suddenly you'd say, they'd be 15-3.
Right. It's so crazy, like you said, how they got this judge, how they go about these coaches of the year. Should you wait? Do you do it just for the season? Because if we're talking about MVP, Lamar Jackson wouldn't be MVP now, you know? So
One I still wonder. Who would you go with? If you included the postseason, who would you go with in the MVP race?
Derrick Henry.
I was thinking Patty Mahomes, even though he missed a couple games.
Right. He's having a big year, huh?
He's having a huge year. I still think Lamar was so huge he would win that.
No, I get
Russ would be the one I would skew to. If Russ had beaten Green Bay, then I think that would put Russ over the top. Because everyone who's watched the Seattle team in primetime games for like the last month has realized this team stinks outside of him. It's him, and it's, they are really – someone on the text line getting cute, suggesting J.J. Watt for Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, let's take a look at these numbers.
Text of the day nominee.
No interceptions, three pass deflections, one forced fumble, and four sacks. That's a huge year. Huge.
It's a quadruple single if it was basketball. 4-3, 1-0.
Didn't Max Crosby have that in one game? Didn't he do all of what J.J. Watt did in one game? That's a guy for the Raiders. Raiders aren't even a good defense.
I wonder how
some random dude for the Raiders did more in one game than Watt did all season. Shows you what you need to know about Watt.
How much consideration does Nick Bosa get for Defensive Player of the Year? Does he end up in the top five? I made the case months ago that he could really be in the conversation, but do you think he winds up in the top five in the voting, Lowe?
Yeah, I think when you look at what this team has done overall and everyone's got the Bosa fever, I think that's possible, but probably not probable. So I won't think he will in the top five.
I mean, he led defenders in votes for the Pro Bowl, and I know a lot of that deals with the fans, but let me go ahead and bring this up. I would say Gilmore's going to be ahead of him. Donald's probably going to be ahead of him. Of course, we're going to have the issue with this. Man, people have made it hard stats so difficult to get everything done on websites now.
Do you still think so, Dan, that he ends up in the top five?
I think so.
He made a good case. And you think about what – he's so likable, and he's such a character.
If you look at all the boxes that need to get checked, he's on an elite defense. He's got legitimate numbers, and like you say, he's a character, and he's got a signature moment. He's got multiple signature moments.
He does.
The flag waving, the flag plant, and – let's not forget the slip and slide. Again, that was against Washington, right?
Redskins
when they all went slip and slide at the end of that game.
Yeah.
So he's got some moments, and he's got the personality.
18 guys had double-digit sacks. He wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Like, how do you take Nick Bosa over Shaq Barrett, who had 19.5 sacks? Chandler Jones had 19 sacks. Cam Jordan had 15.5 sacks. T.J. Watt. Way better than his brother.
Eric Armstead, 14.5 sacks. Teammate.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to be the only thing because he's number two in the NFL in pressures. Pressures actually matter more than sacks when you really think about it. But I don't know. The popularity, the name, the fact that he played on a great defense and he's had a lot of primetime games is going to get him a lot of recognition. But it's going to be tough if you say, Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year. If I'm looking at that, I'm looking at Shaq Barrett going, Shaq Barrett had 19.5 sacks.
Right.
How did Bosa beat him? Right. There's a case to be made for a lot of these dudes. Aaron Donald's right up there again. But if I was betting top five,
I'm going to say.
I think the popularity factor might get him there.
It's going to definitely top 10. But top five, I'd see him outside of
top 50 for sure. I'm in on top 50.
Hot, low. Top 12, as you like to say. We always like top 12 in this
program.
Lowe's greatest angle is that you give him a tough question, and the first thing he does is he tweaks the most important part of the criteria and then gives you the answer. It's like, would you go Bosa top 5 defensive player of the year? Top 15,
no.
Yeah. Top 15, I got him.
I said no.
And it's like, no one said top 15.
No.
I'm just saying if it was top 15, I'd
Chelsea.
Have him.
Up. I said no. He's not in top 5. He's outside the top 5. I didn't even say top 7.
You already said earlier it's possible but not probable. I don't even know what that means. Yes, of course it's possible. It's possible I have a heart attack in the next 19 seconds, but it's not probable. Thanks, Coach.
We're rooting against the heart attack, just so you know. We're rooting against the heart attack.
I appreciate that because, you know, Joe, I'm sure you don't know CPR, and Lowe would probably...
Not true. Lifeguard certified.
Yeah. Now what?
And now I can guarantee you for that assumption, there will be no saving. I'll save the show. If you have a heart attack in the next minute, we've still got about 7 more minutes. I'll finish out the segment. You can deal with him.
No. I haven't been certified, so that means you would be obligated.
No chance.
You're also
he
not
gives
certified for radio.
Mouth to mouth.
You're also not certified for radio.
Neither are any of us, but we're here.
That's I got my FCC license, and he keeps us legal, so I get to keep that license. It's a fact.
There's such a thing as an FCC license?
Those are facts. Yeah.
There's such a thing?
Absolutely. You didn't go to broadcasting school, so you wouldn't know these things.
Yet I'm here.
And that's something I've been fighting against ever since I joined the show. It's a bloodbath on a Thursday.
Those are facts.
Thank you.
The Elite in Daly City. The Elite. Thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Just need to let you guys know, back in February of 2019, you know, we're out of it. Super Bowl just finished. I went and put a C note on the Niners to win the Super Bowl. How was that for faith? The winnings are 30-1. You guys do the math.
Pretty good price.
Well, I'm waiting.
Pretty good price. I would say, I think they closed somewhere around 20, maybe a little less, and they were widely available at 20-25-1 in the buildup to the season. So if you got 30-1, that's a nice price. Maybe a little fait accompli as you played the Niners at 30-1 for a hundo. I played the Warriors at 30-1 that year when they went and broke through. Correlation, not causation.
No, and that's it speaks to the parallel we've been drawing between the Warriors and the 49ers, because you mentioned the Warriors were, what, 30-1
when
you got them that season?
Yeah.
And they're over-under. I was looking 52.5 that year, which is higher as it relates.
Still a big number. They were 52.5 the first year.
Yeah, this is according to Basketball Reference, and it's because they were coming off of the playoff appearance when they lost to the Clippers under Mark Jackson, hand down, man down. Unlike this Niner team coming off a 4-12 year, so their over under was what, 8.5? Is that right at the start of the year?
Yeah, it was 8.5.
Eight flat.
It was flat.
It moved
8
around a little bit. Yeah, I think there was an 8.5 at maybe like one place, but it was mostly just set in stone there at 8, and you had to make the decision on whether they were going to be a winning team or a losing team. That, or you push and 6 months of work down the toilet.
If you look at these teams by the comparison, like the Warrior team to the Niner team, who would be the 49ers' Steph Curry, do you think?
Wow, that's a great question. I think the 49ers' Steph
great
Curry.
Question.
Is there one?
Probably be Nick Bosa, to be honest. This is because the popularity and who he is. I mean, you think about, he's the most, and then if you look at who.
The Curry role has to be a forefront character. He's in the forefront, but I'm talking like Curry was incredibly dominant. He won an MVP award.
Maybe Kittle. Yeah.
Then it has to be Kittle. If you're talking about who's the dominant, most dominant player on that team,
I think that's the one. I think that's the one correlation you might not be able to draw. Right. I don't know if you can find a Curry on the Niner team. I think you can find a Draymond and you can find a Clay. I think you can draw parallels between the coaching staff. You can draw parallels behind underrated aspects of the team. The Warriors had a great defense that never got talked about because of the three-point shooting. The Niners do several things very well that never gets attention. They have this great pass rush, but like rarely do we talk about how great the linebacking unit. We gave the secondary very little credit for the majority of the season because we just put it on the pass rush. So I think there are elements that you can draw in. The Niners started that year 18-8-0. The Warriors had that, 14-game
win
streak?
16 straight. They were 21-2. And then later in the year, they won 12 straight. They were 31-5 at one point. I was starting to go through some of these parallels, just playing around with it. And I had Klay Thompson and Nicky Bosa, just because both are, you know, kind of curious personalities and unbelievably good at their job. Richard Sherman and Draymond for the passion and the fact that they're kind of the emotional backbone of the team. And I did Andrew Bogut, Emmanuel Sanders, because both players joined midseason and made pretty important impacts.
That's not bad.
We're just drawing some fun parallels this morning, comparing the 2015 Warriors to this year's Niner team.
Yeah. I don't think there's a Steph, though. I don't think you can do that. You can try, but
no.
you would naturally probably gravitate to the quarterback position, but no, it's not as good as Garoppolo's been, not to that extent. That shows you the rarefied air Steph's been in from that season on and what he's done with this team. I mean, I just don't see it.
No, but
would be the Kansas City comparison with Mahomes. That's right. What you'd say. Steph is the Mahomes character there. Yeah. I don't know.
And
if
that's
you have
why
a
I would give it
here.
To Kittle, because he's so good in the run game and he's so dominant as a pass catcher. And you know, the Steph Curry, remember the Steph Curry of 2015 wasn't as good as the Steph Curry of the subsequent years when he had 402 threes and he became a truly transcendent player in the NBA.
A message for the billions. If you haven't already, download the radio.com app now. Tune into your boys, Jolo and Dibs, and catch all the latest Niners news, interviews, and updates. Speaking of the Warriors, how about a little Bob and the Billions?
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well, we can go see it after this.
Yeah.
Go see it. Low can come. Just low.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
yeah,
it takes too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, you're one of the billions?
You know what? One of the billions.
Oh, this is so great because this has been playing outside for the 95.7 Fan Takeover. This is the official theme of today's 95.7 Fan Takeover. Hashtag 95.7 Fan Takeover.
Is there actually a hashtag for it?
Yeah.
Did you make that up?
No, it's trending, Joe.
It's a thing?
Yeah, Kyle Madsen, our 10-2 producer, threw that out there. So it's official now.
Get him in, Chilton Auto Body, text line 95795. Today, Bob and the Billions brought to you by our friends at Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. John in Denver, that's a classy one.
Oh, John Denver.
Sandy Bo from the U.
Wilson.
Coach Salad from Bay Bridge Backup.
I see you, Coach Salad.
Walter from the Cord.
Oh, Walter from the Cord.
Chewy D's on the road to becoming a Niners fan.
Gang, gang, Niner band.
Olive from the Garden, a.k.a. Bread from the Sticks.
I love that Olive Garden.
Crap from the Bull, Istanbul.
From the Bull.
Insane Zane from the Membrane. Julian from the Treat. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Julian.
Oh, Treat Boulevard in Concord.
JJ from the Watt.
I see you, JJ.
Four sacks this year. Four sacks. Not really all that impressive.
Not five. Not six.
Nitwit in the Claire. That's it for today. Keep them coming. We love you all. We're back with the final kick. Joe Lo and Dibs. We got a conversation right around the corner with Jeff Schwartz. He played in the NFL for 8 years. He's going to give us the rundown. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.